WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie. From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, this is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. 105.1, 105.3, and 105.7. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Paul Lebronziak, and he shot it wide. Bugenhagen scores! Gives to Koivu a shot, saves, and they score! Scored on the rebound!
Granlund behind the goal. Goes to Spurgeon, he scores!
Across to Spurgeon, Pominville scores! The Wild win it on home ice 6-2.
So let me get this straight. Somebody scored in that game, right?
Just a few times.
Just a few, 6-2. How about your Minnesota Wild? You know, you got to figure now that they're not going to, certainly not going to collapse. They're going to go into the playoffs. They're just three behind Chicago for the third spot and three ahead of Winnipeg. For the second wild card spot, they held the first wild card spot now. But when you take a step back, it's been the hottest team in hockey since they got things going. I mean, since Devan Dubnyk got there. What if they do win the Stanley Cup or make a run for it? I mean, do you think is it possible?
Yeah.
It certainly seems like it is now. They've made it very possible when you're as hot as they've been. It's amazing what one guy can do for that team's the mental outlook of this team and just what everything that they're doing. By the way, 651-989-9105 is the number, 651-989-9105, if you would like to weigh in on the Wild. And also, we're going to be talking about the Vikings, too, and Adrian Peterson and what might be happening with all that. But right now, the Wild, though, it's an amazing story. It's one of the best stories in sports, how they were, just like last year, they were done or seem to be done. People starting to clamor. Not me this year. Last year, very much so. Clamoring for Mike Yeo's head. And they've turned it around again. I mean, and it was the same. It was like game 45 against Buffalo last year. Game 45 this year. Same team, Buffalo. It's where it all turned around. I guess you'll have to watch next year with game 45, see if it's against Buffalo.
Well, hopefully they just don't have to do that next year, and they can just be good all year long.
Well, nobody figured they would be doing it this year, though, did they? They figured, hey, they're young players. You know, oh, they've really made it. Everything's working.
And then even the most recent acquisitions they made, Bergenheim scored last night. Chris Stewart scored in back-to-back games and has 4 points in 5 games with the Wild.
And people weren't looking at him. They just wanted him to muscle things up a bit.
Yeah, we just still don't have Ryan Carter or Jason Zucker right now.
They need some. Yeah, anyway.
It'd be nice to have Zucker.
I'm kidding. What's definitely nice about it is that they've been able to get guys, and earlier in the year with the mumps and with the flu and with injuries, but now, whoever they plug in, it's working for them. The team is, they're absolutely in a zone.
And hockey has proved time and time again, you get hot at the right time, you can make a run.
Not just hot, the hot goaltender is key.
Yeah.
Because they've got that. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. You just hope that, this magic ride he's on extends into the postseason, certainly if you're a Wild fan. You don't want him to, they got to be down 15 games left now, somewhere in there. I haven't added it up. Hold on a second. You're a math whiz. 37, 23, and 7. So that's 47, 57, 8, 67 games. I got 13 left, right? No, 15. What am I saying? 15 left.
Yep.
He's not going to sputter out now. And don't give him a break. Don't give him the night off. You don't want him to lose that mojo or whatever he's got cooking there.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of tough games left. But
sure they do. But I would
beat the best.
You know, it was Dave Schwartz we were talking to about maybe 3 games left. They've got it locked up. I wouldn't take him out unless he asks to come out. If he says, hey, I need a break, then give it to him. If not, it hasn't exactly been a problem
with him
playing. So keep him playing. It certainly has made it fun. And, things are going to, you hope as if you're a Minnesota sports fan, and I would assume if you're listening, you are, that things liven up when the Twins start playing, that there'll be some excitement there, more so than last year. They don't just fall right in the crapper and take themselves out of any, you know, just give people a few weeks of feeling like there's a chance of this being a worst to first or second deal. That would be nice. The Timberwolves, that's all young stuff. I mean, they're young. That's what they fall back on. Ah, they're young. The Vikings, though, the Vikings are very interesting and intriguing, and we'll do this every day we can. The breaking news, Adrian Peterson, still a Viking. Apparently, the word is that meeting with the Wilfs in New York and Rick Spielman, it was to reiterate he doesn't want to come here or stay here. He wants out. Yep. And right now, a lot of things, I mean, it's like a puzzle right now and how the pieces will fit together. One part of the puzzle is, where is DeMarco Murray going to wind up? Because where he winds up means, well, that Adrian Peterson will not wind up there. And it doesn't look like he's going to wind up in Dallas, which could really make it interesting. That's when the Peterson stuff will really heat up. There's reports out there. Now, this one is a little baffling to me, but the Eagles are doing some strange things. Chip Kelly, you know, they brought him in because they thought that offense that he ran at Oregon would be great, you know, great for the NFL. There's times when it looks like it could really be exciting. But he's gotten rid of his best running back, LeSean McCoy. Jeremy Maclin's best receiver, who, by the way, is, he has signed already with Kansas City. And then you've got your quarterback, Nick Foles. They got rid of him for Sam Bradford. And they've signed Ryan Matthews, right, who mm-hmm. was a running back. He never really developed into what people thought he would. He's been with San Diego. He had a career-high 1,255 yards in 2013, just played in six games last year. But now they're supposedly also trying to go after DeMarco Murray hard.
So they're all over the place, and I don't really blame them. I think Chip Kelly kind of has seen what he has and what he wants. So he's making some switches. Nick Foles and Sam Bradford are on the last year of their contracts. Nick Foles probably stands to get a larger contract than Sam Bradford would.
Well, Bradford's on a large contract now, yeah.
He makes $13 million. I don't know what his cap hit this year is. But you might be able to lowball him, and he might plug into that offense fairly well. He ran a similar thing down in Oklahoma when he was in college.
Well, clearly that's why they did it. And people are saying, well, now forget about the Mariota. Because they didn't have enough to make the bid for Mariota to move up to get him with the second pick.
Unless for some reason they know the Jets are higher on Bradford than they are on Foles.
Well,
because Todd Bowles was the D coordinator for Arizona, and he played against Sam Bradford a few times. Maybe he likes that kid, and they're getting ready to make a deal.
Kelly said that he was off. One team offered him a first-round pick for Bradford, which makes no sense at all. A guy who's been hurt as much as he is. So maybe they deal him, and then they have a couple of things to really work with to try to get Mariota, but there's no blueprint. When you look, it's clear what he's doing there. It's clear what he's doing. You just take a step back and say, what the hell is he doing? But if they got DeMarco Murray, that becomes key with Adrian Peterson because they need a running back. And Jerry Jones, that's what'll take him off make him move to do something. And I'm sure he's already discussed it in his positioning himself. And, AP is what he's doing. Well, some of it's his own doing, but he's being advised. Just keep telling the Vikings you want to be there because ultimately he wants to be in Dallas. We knew that. We knew that before all this stuff broke and the issues he was having with the law and before it broke about him beating his kid with a switch. And that's the other thing. You know, we've touched on this a few times, but it's really amazing when you take a step back that he has been able to turn this into him being the victim, being forced to stay with the Vikings. He got $12 million last year for sitting on his ass and not playing. And he's upset because he was on a commission as exemplist, but who put him there? He put himself there. So it's amazing how things have turned. And I think this whole thing with as we get farther along with this, when everybody, Mark Wilf, Ziggy Wilf, both the owners, then you had, the GM, the coach, the new COO, Kevin Warren, every one of them saying, we want AP back. Well, they had to say that because they're trying to keep a market for him. If they say we don't want him back, then the market isn't what it is. But these other teams, that's the thing, they're not stupid. They know the situation. Everybody knows more about what AP wants to do and is planning to do than probably the Vikings themselves. Because you know his agent is going around telling all these teams, AP doesn't want to be there, you better be in the mix. And after DeMarco Murray signs, then it does get interesting with who's left to go after running back. He's the best running back available now. But without DeMarco Murray, then these teams that didn't get Murray, they become even more determined to do it. And honestly, if, well, we know that the Jaguars tried getting DeMarco Murray, and they didn't come up with enough money for him. And I don't think he wants to go there. I mean, why would you want to go there?
You got a young quarterback, and now they have a solid tight end, but what else?
But what exactly? Why? What's the attraction to going to Jacksonville? Because they're not going to turn it around. However, now, and this is if you're the Vikings, maybe you should be calling Jay. You want Adrian Peterson? Well, give us that first-round pick.
I'll take it.
How would that be, right? You're sitting there with one of the top picks in the draft all of a sudden. Now, that one doesn't seem like it'd be, that wouldn't be too shabby. If you come in with the third overall pick, do you have the third overall pick? Who are you taking? Or do you trade it then to a team desperate for, I don't think, the way you look at it, the Buccaneers seem like they're intent on taking Jameis Winston and the Titans going for Mariota, but the Jaguars are sitting third. Now, if you're the Jaguars, would you give up the third overall pick for Adrian Peterson? You need to make a splash, too, and get your fans excited.
Not likely. If he's on the board, I would take Leonard Williams at 3. A lot of people are saying he is the best guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to, because he's probably the best guy in the draft.
Yeah.
Or people believe that, but the teams often go for quarterbacks. He's 6'5", 302.
He can line up on the end and on the
interior.
He can
go anywhere. You can put him anywhere you want him to, because he's too quick for interior linemen, for guards and the center, and they say he's too powerful for offensive tackles. That's not a bad problem to have.
Not at all.
So, and if you're Jacksonville, though, you probably would love to sit there, but it's still something perhaps for the Vikings to take a gander at. Now, you know what? To get this guy, Leonard Williams, would you trade Adrian Peterson and the 11?
Yes.
Just to move up to 3?
I don't think I'd have to think about that.
Because if
all.
You're Jacksonville, you have to think about that if you're getting the first round pick. And then you get Jacksonville to throw you 2, which is still a pretty good
something
pick.
Something like that. But I'd be willing to part with the 11th pick and AP if I could get up there
for a
Leonard,
Williams,
shot at Leonard Williams.
A game changer like that? Well, maybe that's what Mike Zimmer's trying to get to happen. Because Jacksonville went hard. I mean, they had players calling DeMarco Murray. They've been trying hard to get Murray. If they don't get Murray, what's their fallback plan?
C.J. Spiller, Stephen Ridley.
It's not Adrian Peterson.
It's not really a plan. Stick with Gerhardt.
And also, that we're talking Jacksonville, that's the South. That's sadly and unfortunately parts of the country that don't have as much of an issue with what Peterson did to that child. And we're talking, Jacksonville is not like, not at all like South Florida. I mean, it's the South.
You're trying to say it's more of a hick town?
No, I'm saying it's more of the South where it's acceptable. It's not like, South, you go to Miami and you go to, South Florida, parts like it's all transplants from the North. Jacksonville's not like that. I think that's very much, the South.
Well,
don't
then
you
he'd
think?
Love it down there.
I think he would. Well, and the other thing is, that Adrian Peterson does not want to go to Jacksonville. That's why you trade him.
I'm surprised they're able to draw anybody there during free agency, because it's kind of always been like, who wants to go there?
Well, and the reason they do is because they have to throw a little more seed at you. They have to hit you with a little more money than other teams do. I'm surprised at some of the guys that have wanted when you look at why they would go there. But
no state income tax. That's the thing that I always forget.
Well, that does help, because whatever you're making, you're gonna it's more because of that. But it's you wouldn't want to go there, right? I wouldn't want to go there. Now, what, Brandon Marshall, by the way, claims he's got 10 more years left in him. That's a lot of years.
In his life?
For a guy who's 31 in a week, or a week and a half. So, but that also is going to be interesting. What do the Jets, what that team shakes out and looks like with him on it? Well, they only had a quarterback.
Well, with a guy of that size that can just jump up and go get a ball, that really helps out the young guys that can't be accurate, Geno Smith.
Yeah, I've never been a big Geno guy. So,
me either.
You know what? Let's take a quick break. And when we return, actually, we have a neat interview for you. We're gonna talk to the head of the Ronald McDonald House, and they do a lot of good things in the community. And we're gonna talk about that. It's not always about. It's not always just about sports. It's also about helping people, and that's why we want to take an opportunity to talk about that. And we'll do that just in a few minutes. We've got a great show for you. Brad Frost will join us getting ready for the NCAA tournament. He wins wins this weekend against RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. I told him I'd never heard of him before. RIT. Isn't that something they kill bugs with? RIT? RIT?
Yeah.
So he's going to play. They're going to play RIT. And then they advance to the Frozen Four. The game is this weekend here. And then the Frozen Four is here, too, at his arena. Last time they were there, they won the national championship. So we're going to let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
The fight for the dance happens this week when the Big Ten basketball championships are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Twice. Splitting the defense. Knifing down the lane.
Our Big Ten coverage starts Thursday at 10:45 a.m.
Triple pull up from 17. He buried it again. He's feeling it now.
It's time to decide the champion on the hardwood.
Ooh. Spin move.
Oh, yeah.
All the way into the paint. Two-handed.
On Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Where? I hope that John Static, our guest, is okay with this as his walk-up, talk-up music.
That's the other thing, man. I play in a band, so this
you
is
do?
Great music. Yeah, bass.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, then, good.
It's a cover band, so I've been listening to this for a long time.
You didn't know that.
Controversial lyrics, huh?
Well, first, let's thank John. John has an incredible memory. John is the CEO and president of the Ron McDonald House Charities in the Upper Midwest. He brought Shamrock Shakes, because that's the time of the year for that sort of thing. But he remembered from a year ago when he visited with us that I like vanilla. So I love your vanilla shakes. As a matter of fact, I hadn't had one in a while because I'm, as you can see, I'm portly. I want to keep my portliness down. But yesterday I was driving. I said, man, I could use a McDonald's. I pulled in at a McDonald's on the way home and had one.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to explain to my wife tonight why I can remember you like vanilla shakes, but I can't remember the anniversary. Right?
Perhaps maybe it's best if you don't get into that, John. Well, John, as I mentioned, is president of the Ronald McDonald House Charities in the Upper Midwest. And, well, we were talking off the air. There are sports connections with this because you mentioned Ryan Suter has joined your board.
His wife, Becky, And Ryan and Becky have just in the last few months signed on as official community ambassadors for Ronald McDonald House. So they're helping us spread the word. And great couple and just so sincere about their involvement. And then we've got Dave St. Peter.
Twins president.
From the Twins president. Yep, is on our board. So, and the Twins last summer in connection with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Major League Baseball, the Twins, the Polad Family Foundation gave us $550,000. For a renovation project at our facility at Oak Street. So their view is, you know, the All-Star Game comes in for a few days and there's all this hoopla, but what's the legacy you leave behind? So to our organization and, you know, the families we serve over at Oak Street, that was a legacy gift for sure.
That's terrific. And now, people that aren't familiar with it, a lot of people here, Ronald McDonald House, Ronald McDonald House Charities, you could go through it. I can read the mission statement, but you could probably explain it better for other people. And it's a great thing you do to help families.
Well, thanks. And so, you know, we all can only contemplate a situation where you find out that something's really wrong with your child and you want to get them the very best medical care. We're very blessed in this community to have great doctors, great hospitals. But now all of a sudden you're focused on your kids. So what do you need to be able to focus 100% on that? You need a place to stay. You need a place to have the comforts of home. So we provide a home away from home for families with children facing a serious health challenge, and it's all the care and comfort you can imagine. I mean, laundry services, exercise equipment, Wi-Fi. We have volunteers from our community who come in every night of the week and serve brunches on weekends right here in our local community in all three of our programs. A warm meal for those families every night. And you can imagine the impact when you're a family going through a crisis with your child and you're looking across the counter at a complete group of strangers from our community who, through the love in their heart and caring for others, are there to serve you a warm meal. I mean, powerful stuff like that.
And also, you're going to have a fourth location starting up at Children's Hospital in St. Paul.
Exactly. So over at Children's in St. Paul, they've been doing some renovation. We're going to open up a space where folks can come in and four overnight spaces, and we will be able to serve about another 1,200 families a year
That's wonderful.
One program. So we'll be up to over 4,000 a year that we touch.
It's, you know, we've... We've talked to Kevin Warren, who you're familiar with him. He made a donation for in the name of his sister for something somewhat similar to what you do. But taking that burden off of people's minds, it's got to just be. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you do, because it's you have when you're right when you're dealing with a kid that has a an illness, people don't know where to turn, and you are a. I mean, you're an oasis of hope and help.
Well, that's the way we look at it. I often describe it, Bob, is that what we try to do is to take stuff off your to-do list. You know, what am I going to do for a place to stay? Got you covered. Where am I going to do my laundry? Got you covered. We have a school over here at Oak Street, so if your siblings need to come so the family can stay together, we got you covered. All those things. So those parents can focus on what's most important, which is getting their child healthy.
Now, talking to John Stanek, the CEO and president of Ronald McDonald House Charity, Ronald McDonald House Charities in the Upper Midwest. What's the average stay for a family? Well, is there an average?
Yeah, so in the hospital-based programs, like over at Children's and Gillette, it's just a couple nights. So usually they're in and out fairly quickly. But here at Oak Street, where we support the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital, those have the long stays because they're coming from all over the world, all over the Upper Midwest, all over our state for transplants. Actually, those families stay with us 4 to 5 months on average.
Wow.
It's the longest average length of stay of any Ronald McDonald House in the entire world, and it's all because of this amazing medical community we support.
Oh, that's terrific. I had no idea it was that long. That's why, as you mentioned, you have you have schools for the siblings to go to.
Right. And, you know, you can imagine, you know, you're from Bismarck. You don't have to have that issue of who goes to the cities with the child who's sick and who stays here so we can keep the other kids in school. They can come as a family and go through this experience together. And that's what makes it a home.
Yeah. Now, do you ever have... Do you have job placements, too, for people? Because 5 months is a long time to be away.
Yeah.
Do you have any help with that? If people come out that they could help them get placed if they're in a business that has outlets here, has options here.
Yeah, actually, we work very closely with the hospitals and their social workers, and I think the hospitals are better set up with that infrastructure to help those families on the other things they need for support, transportation, you know, all those other things. We kind of take care of the housing and the day-to-day living stuff.
What was when you go back, the genesis of Ronald McDonald House Charities?
Yeah.
Where did it start?
Sports story. Philadelphia. Fred Hill, wide receiver, Philadelphia Eagles. His daughter gets sick with cancer. He says, you know, there's got to be a better way to support families than having you curl up in an uncomfortable chair at the foot of your child's bed and eat all your food out of vending machines. So the guy that was running advertising for the local McDonald's operators and the owner of the Eagles knew each other. They said, let's build a Ronald McDonald House. Ray Kroc with McDonald's said, this is a great idea. The very first Shamrock Shake promotion, no kidding, funded the very first Ronald McDonald House in the world
is
in Philadelphia.
Right?
Yeah, it was 41 years ago. So that's where the Shamrock Shake started, is to build that house. And the McDonald's, the great owner operators that support us and their customers, are still helping us out today.
The Shamrock Shakes still are doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So in this one, the promotion that's running now is from today through St. Patrick's Day. It's our 36th anniversary, so the McDonald's folks are donating 36 cents of every Shamrock Shake sold until St. Patty's Day to the Ronald McDonald House Chair of the Upper Midwest. This promotion last year, 35 cents in honor of our 35th anniversary, raised over about $110,000. So this will raise $100,000 over these next few days.
Wow.
So here's a way that, you know, your listeners can get a tasty treat and do something to help a family.
So it's like each year they add, you bet you can't wait till it's the 300th anniversary.
Yeah, I might not be around is the problem.
The technology they have at the U, I wouldn't worry about it. They'll turn us all to some sort of a robotic.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. Google was talking about 500 years of life in the near future. It was like, oh boy, you know, that's a long.
I'd like to roll the clock back a little bit to have a shot at that one.
Exactly.
Well, and not to get off on a tangent, but that was the whole premise of this movie Chappie that's out.
Okay.
That you could actually put a mind into a robot and live forever.
Oh,
or that being.
Yeah.
So, now you... obviously, you have other things going on. What are some of let people know beyond the Shamrock Shake, when March 17th comes and goes, St. Patrick's Day, you obviously still do a lot of good things in the community. Other things coming up that you can make people aware of, the other fundraisers or any other things that you can mention that are coming up in the next few months?
Yeah, a real fun one that's in August. I think it's August 13th at the Depot in Minneapolis, and you can find information on our website, www.rmhtwincities.org. We have an event called Brew Love, and it's craft breweries and food trucks come up.
Well, you know how to hit
live
people.
We do, yeah, exactly.
The Shamrock Shakes, the brews.
Exactly. But that's proven to be a very popular event. We had over 650 people last year. We're expecting 1,000 this year, and it's a very reasonable entry point. And again, the breweries donate their beer, the food trucks donate the food. We have live entertainment, and it's a fun demographic. And that's another fun way that people can give back. My son, who's 24, came last summer, and he said, you know, geez, Dad, for $40-$45, this is a steal with the beer and the food. Yeah. You should raise the price a little bit. And he also thought it was something that I was associated with that was cool, which was good. But, you know, so we do stuff like that. And then also on our website, we have any number of community fundraisers throughout the year that people, you know, runs for charity, for our charity and other things that our community partners put on. There's an event coming up in August. RBC does a race for the kids to benefit us. And so it's a, you know, everybody from the most elite runners through the people that are just casual runners, you sign up and the proceeds, a portion of the proceeds come to us to support our work. So a number of events like that people can find on our website.
Now, talking to John Stanek, the CEO and president of Ronald McDonald House Charities for the Upper Midwest. 35 years for this Ronald McDonald charity.
36, yeah. 36.
Of course,
yeah.
36.
Yeah.
35 already in the bank, and you're 36.
Yeah.
How many years have you been doing? You're a young fella, so it hasn't been, you haven't been there from the beginning.
Well, thanks for saying that. You know, I look in the mirror every morning, I think different. I've been doing this for a little over 3 years now.
So, I mean, obviously, it's probably more than you thought in terms of, you got to feel good every night when you head home because you're doing something, you and the, and it's not just you, you have other people working with you, the staff, that you got to feel good about what you accomplish.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I spent some years in government. I spent some years in the private sector. I ran Quest Communications in the state for 11 years. And so doing this is a way of giving back, and the amazing staff and the volunteers that support us. You know, the volunteers, these groups that come in and do meals, people come and help out, over $1.2 million in value every year from our volunteers. So I get to see every day in my position the way this community is so generous to people that are in need. And with all the stuff that goes on in the news from day to day, you know, it makes you feel pretty good. You see families that are going through a really hard time, but you also see love and compassion and concern. And you know something about that, being there for kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have an opportunity to do it. And if you work, you must have really good phone service if you ran Quest. I hope that they've taken care of you.
They have. I got sweet high-speed internet, yeah.
That's perfect. Well, John, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. John Stanek, CEO and President, the Ronald McDonald House Charities Upper Midwest. Buy a Shamrock Shake, and that's more than 10% of the shake is going to is going to the charity. That's a great deal
to help the families and the kids.
Yep. Yeah, 36 cents. That really is that's nice of them. Like I said, well, at some point they'll get 300 years or so. They'll have to be adding money to it.
That's
so
right.
It's one of the best buys out there. Thank you again for bringing us some Shamrock Shakes and getting me my vanilla. It's an amazing memory this man has.
Thanks, Bob, and hopefully we'll see you again next year.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, John. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll be talking to the University of Minnesota women's hockey coach Brad Frost, top-ranked in the nation, going after their third national championship in 4 seasons. Won it 2 in a row, didn't win last year, made it to the finals. They're going to go back at it again this year. We'll talk to Brad when we return. It is time for every Wednesday we do a Gopher segment. We are joined by Brad Frost, the University of Minnesota women's hockey coach. Brad, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Bob. How are you?
Good. As you know, and we've talked about this before when you've been on 2 years ago, guaranteed that your team would win the national championship. I know you weren't crazy about that you'd go undefeated. I'm going to make a guarantee now. Your team will play as their hearts out, because they'll give you everything they have. They'll leave on the ice. How's that one? Is that better?
I like that. We can certainly live with that. I mean, you were definitely our good luck charm there for a couple of years, so we appreciated that. But your bold predictions.
I know they make coaches nervous.
During it was a little scary.
I would have looked bad. You would have looked fine.
Good point.
But you were just nervous about going undefeated. Now this year you're back where you belong, number one ranked team in the country, and it's a good year to be that too, because you play home this weekend against RIT. Thanks to you earlier, we chatted in his office, Rochester Institute of Technology. I have no problem admitting I had no clue what it stood for.
Well, I don't think a lot of people do, and that's what scares me a little bit, is I don't want our players hearing, what does RIT stand for? Where are they? How good are they? Because really it comes down to us, and this time of year we better be playing our best hockey.
Well, here's the problem, though, and you could use this when you're giving them that pregame and speech. RIT is also something to kill rodents. Gopher is a rodent.
Right?
You better remind them. Isn't that what it is, Dave? RIT? Isn't that also something for dealing with rodents or bugs or something?
I hope it doesn't kill rodents.
No, no, but you use it. Say, look, you have to turn things around here. Don't let them do. Don't let them do that to you. It's one of those things.
RID.
RID. Oh, RID. I thought it was RIT. It's RID. I thought there was an RIT. Well, never mind.
RAID. I know RAID.
RAID. No, there's a RAID. You know what, Brad? Start this thing over. No,
take two.
You're going to be. Your team will be fine. And the fact that you're at home for this, the first round game, and also you have the final four is going to be at on your ice. How does that, for yourself and also for the confidence of your players, how big a deal is that knowing that they will be on home ice throughout?
Well, it's certainly exciting, and we've worked really hard, and our players have, to make sure that we're hosting this quarterfinal game. It's a big deal. There's four games going on this Saturday, and they're all at the higher seeds. And so we wanted to make sure that we were a higher seed so that we'd be playing at home. And there's obviously the excitement of the Frozen Four being at home next weekend. But as we know, until we punch our ticket there, there's no guarantees. And so this is really the last opportunity for a lot of people to see us play at 4 o'clock on Saturday, as the Frozen Four, should we be fortunate enough to make it, is already sold out.
Oh, so the entire Frozen Four is on. So if you don't have tickets to that already, you're not going to see it.
No, there might even be some scalpers like there were a couple of years ago, which was always fun. But no, we're not sold out yet. Anyways, for this Saturday, so encourage people to come out and cheer us on.
Now, are you where you want to be? I mean, because every coach wants to be peaking at just the right time. Is your team where you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing well all year. Last weekend, we lost to Bemidji State in the semifinal of our WCHA conference tournament. That was the first time that we didn't make it to the finals in about 7 years, and so that wasn't overly exciting, but it certainly got the attention of our players. When you lose a hockey game at the end of the year like that, we had won three straight tournament championships, and so to not come out with a championship last weekend was a big deal, but it also really allows our team to refocus and understand that they're vulnerable if they don't play their best.
And we've talked about this, not just earlier, because we talked about it a little bit earlier today, but in the past, there's something about, there are certain teams that have other teams' number, and Bemidji seems to have yours, because you've had issues with them for the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, they've beaten us probably two or three times in the last few years, and this year we lost three games, and two of those were to Bemidji. We got shut out 1-0 in those two losses. So they're a very good team. Jim Scanlon's the new coach up there and was the WCHA Coach of the Year, and they had a great season.
Well, now, but there's also something to be said, and I'm trying to remember what year it was. It's within the last 10 years that the two teams had played, I think it was when Michigan State played for the national championship, both teams had lost in their conference tournament. And then they wind up meeting each other again for the national title. And I'm talking about NCAA basketball. So, I mean, if you have to, I guess, as a coach, you want to put that spin on it, that it is a reminder and a refocusing for some teams. And, yes, it would have been great to win that, but I'm sure every one of the, every coach on with your team and every player, you were asked, well, what would you rather win, the conference title or the national title? I got a feeling we all know the answer to that one.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And as you know, coaches spin things however they want to benefit them and their team. And so, for us, we won the conference tournament championship last year and lost in the national championship game. And you ask any of our players and they would flip flop those trophies in a heartbeat. But our team has had a lot of success over the last few years and this time of year in particular. And so to hang a loss on us, teams are going to have to play really, really well. And Bemidji did that. And now for our players, it was an eye opener. And, we've got, we got to win Saturday to give ourselves an opportunity to hoist the big trophy.
Talking to Brad Frost, the coach of the women's hockey team at the University of Minnesota. And Brad, by the way, to let people know too, we've been doing a lot of your Saturday games, and it's great that we have that affiliation with your program, because it's a terrific program, and you have your play-by-play guys terrific too.
Yeah, Dan Hammond is his name, and he's been our play-by-play guy for a number of years, unfortunately. In the past, not enough people have heard him because we do it on the web. But to be able to be affiliated with your station there and have our Saturday games on so other people in the metro who are driving in the area and around the surrounding areas can listen to our games, it's been a big boost for our program, and I think if anything, it's certainly drawn in a few more fans.
And before we let you go, because I know you have practice coming up, I sat in your office in a chair, and right across from me, you have that display of championship rings. How many kids just sit there like I did in awe of the number of rings in there?
Well, hopefully a lot.
hopefully a lot.
You notice they were strategically placed
yes.
right in front of that chair.
Yep.
So, no, when we bring recruits in, that's the first thing that they notice. And, you know, it's a great reminder that our team is a team that wins championships, and we will always be in the mix for that. And, but more importantly, we're going to give them a great experience, and they're going to continue to develop as people and players. So, it's a neat thing. It's nice to have that display, and even nicer to have some rings in that display.
Some rings? What do you have, 10 of them in there?
Yeah, there's about 10 or so.
No, it's 10 because you have, and I thought this was brilliant too, the psychology of it. You have on the top row, you have the most left slot and the most right where you can put a ring over it are open. All you have to do, when they look at that, you just tell them, you know what, we want you to help us fill those.
And that's right. The only way we're going to win another one here is if you come. So not you specifically, Bob. No,
that's not going to work.
Yeah. No, it's great. I appreciate you stopping by there today.
Well, and it's great talking to you, Brad. And obviously, I'm not going to make a guarantee, but I'll make a prediction. You're going to win again. 3 out of 4. It's a given.
I would love that. There's no doubt. But we all know there's a little work that needs to be done.
No, and you guys will do it. Thanks again, Brad. Brad Frost, University of Minnesota women's hockey team. We appreciate you taking time with us. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks.
All right, take care. He has a great program there. And he's off the air now. I mean, he's a terrific guy and a terrific coach. The nice thing about him, I mean, the guy, some people change when they have success. He's still the same good guy he was when he took that job. You know, and he had, he was an assistant, before when they won their two national titles before he had, you know, he won his two. So he's known a lot of success with that program. And there's something to be said about, you know, when you have the right coach for a program, it makes a difference because he can draw talent and he knows what to do with it when he does get the talent there. He had mentioned the game this weekend is available on Saturday. If you're a hockey fan and you are, you know, and you go for Andor hockey fan, they play a great brand of hockey, meaning the women on his team, these are some of the best hockey players in the world on that team. Several of them were on the Olympics. You know, represented the U.S. in the Olympics, and it's a fun team to watch. And they one thing they have is that thing about Bemidji, though. He was explaining it to me earlier. There's something about Bemidji has a great goaltender, and they play great defense, so they block a lot of shots. And then when they get to the goaltender, she handles it. A lot of teams would like to mimic that, but you need a great goaltender, and you need that great defense in front of you. And not many teams can do what Bemidji has done.
Would you call him the John Calipari? Or Nick Saban? Or
what would he be another, of?
Yeah. What are we? Would
I'll
he
tell
be
you
compared
what,
to?
A couple of more years, we may call him the John Wooden of women's
John Wooden
college
of women's hockey.
I mean, he's played in, well, he's 1, 2, 3. This is his fourth straight national championship game. That's not too shabby.
Not at all.
You know, one back-to-back. Then last year they lost in the championships, and now they have an opportunity. I would be very surprised if they did not win again. The fact that they're hosting is a big deal. That makes a difference. And I do think that loss to Bemidji could be the type of thing that does get them refocused and gets them where they need to be mentally to go forward in this.
Got to keep our composure!
You definitely got to keep that composure. There's got to be something with RIT, not RID. I thought there was something called RIT, R-I-T. I got to look that up during the break.
RITs?
Ritz crackers?
Ritz crackers.
I'm not talking about Ritz crackers.
Well, now
although
I am.
They will draw crumbs. The crumbs will draw, you know, bugs, but that's not what we're talking about. I'll tell you what we are talking about now, though. We're going to come right back. The little D-bag of the day, a blast from the past makes it. We're going to throw him in there, even though he hasn't really done a lot wrong, but there's a 30-30 feature that's being done. ESPN's doing one called Why I Hate Christian Laettner. And I'll...
I could probably do a whole show on that.
Oh, then we'll talk about that when we return. Be right back.
The best of high school basketball can be heard on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
A long three at the buzzer is good!
Wally Langfellow brings you play-by-play from the biggest games.
We have the Class 4A championships covered. The semifinals are Thursday night at 6 p.m., and the finals are Saturday at 8 p.m., live from the Target Center.
High school basketball, presented by Minnesota Score Magazine.
Job good! And the time ball going in!
On Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag.
All right, let me ask you, why do you hate Christian Laettner?
Due to my upbringing, we were kind of taught to hate Duke, and it became apparent why when you watch them play and see them get all these calls going their way, and it just seemed like that preppy style you didn't like. I mean, it's kind of the same reason a lot of people hate the Yankees. They win all the time, but it's not just that. Just seeing the way the refs were pretty much giving him hugs and saying, hey, it's okay, go to the free throw line and shoot some to feel better.
Yeah, he always had this... just this air of aloofness to him. And he, TMZ caught up to him and he goes, how can you make people love you? And Laettner said, I don't know if that's possible. And there is the ESPN 30 for 30 that's going to be titled, I Hate Christian Laettner. That's what it is. I Hate Christian Laettner. I mean, I dealt with him when he was the Wolves. I dealt with him when he was at Duke. As a matter of fact, and this was the year that they beat Kentucky with his incredible shot. You know,
I'm reliving it, and I'm getting angry.
Okay, when he took the inbound pass from Grant Hill, just basically took the shot from the top of the key right around there and made it, and they Duke beat Kentucky. And I was at Duke. I was the first guy, I'm told, that ever, because there's always rumors about him, and not that it mattered, who cares, but about it, that he's gay, right? So I asked him, I said, do these rumors bother you? And why? Why is it even a big deal? And what's the genesis? And he explained it went back to when he was a freshman, and he and Brian Hall. Who was the guy that was his teammate? One of the other teammates.
Bobby Hurley was the other one.
No, it wasn't Hurley.
A lot.
No, it wasn't Hurley I was talking about. It was a guy who actually wound up with the Wolves, too. But he said they were joking around, you know, one like that spring, and they were like holding hands and skipping. So that's people took it all of a sudden. That's how it, what it became. I mean, I think he still lives in Minnesota. You know, he married a gal from Minnesota, and I think he's still here.
Does he still hold hands and skip with people?
I'm not sure about that. You know what he looks like now, though? A photo of him now? He looks like a very tall Alan Alda from the MASH days. If you watch MASH, right?
I know Alan Alda.
Yeah, but that's a photo of him now. It makes him look a little bit like that. And I don't know. I mean, I never really had any problem. He was aloof when he came to the Wolves, too. He had this air about him of he didn't want to be bothered, and everybody's poop stank. And actually, the one thing about him, you know, he never showered. Speaking of stank, when he was with the Wolves, the word was he wouldn't shower. He would go home. Imagine that, after a game, putting clothes on and leaving without showering.
But I can't necessarily imagine. I've never been in that position as a professional basketball player. But
you want to rinse the stink off, you'd think.
You get a little sweaty.
I'd say more than a little. But that's, everybody's got their own little tics and personality glitches, and he's got a few of his own too. And by the way, 651-989-9105, if you hate Christian Laettner and why, give us a ring. Maybe we can get you on ESPN of what I hate Christian Laettner, that sort of thing. Now technically he's not really a D-bag of the day candidate. It would be maybe for perpetuity,
D-bag of the
for
life.
All the things he's done. Yeah, he could be a hall of shamer for that. Now here's a legitimate one for something he did. And actually, I feel for the guy a little bit. Tanner Jeremy Rahier is a Cincinnati Reds prospect. Goes into a drunken rage after he was cut off at an Arizona bar. And that's when he accidentally hit his girlfriend with a rock. Apparently, you know, he's let out of the bar, and he decided he was going to. The rocks were meant for another customer, but he missed it to his girlfriend in the face. And a 911 caller said that he was obviously nuts. booked into jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and assault with an intent to injure. He told police he didn't know the woman that he was supposedly trying to hit and denied throwing the rocks, but I think his girlfriend is, his face is evidence that there's a rock issue there. Now, I will say this about him. This goes back more than 10 years ago. I hit my wife in the head with a ricocheted rock. She was climbing up a tree to get a cat down, right? Yeah. And she's on one side of the tree, and the cat's out on a branch on the other side. My son, sorry, he was now, he was like seven at the time, he's handing me rocks, and I'm trying to throw them in the branches to scare the cat toward her.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we... here's what we heard. A loud thunk. The light one was the rock ricocheting off the branch. The loud thud was the rock hitting my wife in the head. Because it ricocheted off the branch and just nailed her right. And then my son and I, you know, he's like, he was a lot shorter because he's seven. He's taller than me now. We looked at each other. And if you did like 1001, 1002, all of a sudden we heard just this screech or squeak. My wife, you know, it like took a few seconds for it just to sort of connect how much that thing hurt.
At first it was what happened?
Yeah, oh my, it was horrible. So we had to take it to the doctor, and they asked what happened, and it was such a odd story. It was too much to not be true. So they bandaged her up, and here's the part about the story that I won't, you know, that I remember distinctly. We're in the store. We're not, you know, it's a big box store. One of them that's laid off 1,700 employees recently, without mentioning names. And we're laughing in line. She had like a Band-Aid on her head, and it might have been like probably a little trickle of blood that came down because it was fresh from the doctor's office. So I go to another store there. It's in, you know, Ridgedale, where there's a lot of stores around. I come back. There's a cop car right in front of my car, and he won't let me go to the car. So what's the matter?
Well, we had an employee at Target call us, and what happened to your wife's head? What did you do to her?
I said, what did I do to her? I said, she got hit with a rock that ricocheted. So I explained this, and this is what pissed me off, though. I could, you know, somebody, some do-gooder in there decided they were going to call the cops because they thought she was a victim of, you know, of abuse. But it's when, and I had, my kids were young. Again, it's about 10 years ago. I had a 7-year-old in the car, and I had like a 2 or 3-year-old. And Sam, who's, you know, she was about 9. But he shone the light in their faces because it was darker out. And what happened to your mother? I mean, you're asking a 7 and a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old this? The next day, I called the chief of police. And I bitched him about it, and he actually apologized because he said, well, he's new and he's young. But don't do stuff like that. I called the store. The guy offered me a $15 gift certificate. I said, I don't need a gift certificate. Just teach your people to, you know, don't be calling the police unless you have a reason to or just cause. Anyway, so a long story just to say that I have a little bit of understanding about Tanner Jeremy Rahier hitting his girlfriend in the head with a rock. There are ricochets at times.
Maybe he was just too drunk to the point where he thought he was still trying out for the Reds, so he's demonstrating his arm.
Well, he is a prospect for him, though, so it's not that he's,
you know, not very accurate.
He's a, you know, one of the minor leaguer guy for him. And then
a scout better make a note of that right now.
Yes. And now, this one is, I'm telling you right now, this is probably the one I'm going to go with. Remember, you big WWE guy?
No, I was as a kid.
All right. Was Victoria big then? She was like one of the superstars, the women that hang out there. I don't think she actually was a wrestler. Anyway, she's got a restaurant now called The Squared Circle. And a guy comes in with a gun, and he goes into the women's room, and then he goes back in the kitchen. Her husband is the manager of the bar. He took this guy down he was not a pro wrestler. He'd been a wrestler when he was in high school. But he took this guy down, and they got the gun. I mean, he wound up getting arrested. But our D-bag there is anybody that would just go into a restaurant like that. The guy that tried to go in big shot with the gun, you know, checking mm-hmm. going in the restroom. Poor Victoria, former WWE superstar. And it's just not right. So, but anyway, those are our candidates. Christian Laettner, we just wanted to bring him up because it's fun to bring him up. And the fact that the 30 for 30 is going to be I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That it, to this day, we're talking, what, 25 years ago? 20 years? What year was
yeah,
that?
24.
It's about
it was
that, right?
91 when he hit that shot against Kentucky. I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, so it's almost the 25th. Maybe it'll come out for the 25th anniversary. You've got him. We've got this Tanner Jeremy right here, hits the girlfriend in the head. And the guy who tried to upset the former WWE star Victoria's restaurant, the Squared Circle. I'm going with the guy that tried to screw up the Squared Circle because, again, I understand, even though he was drunk, this Rahir, I don't think he meant to hit the girlfriend in the head with the rock. I believe in ricochets, having seen them myself. And well, you? You're going with Leitner because you hate him.
I would like to go with Leitner, but he didn't do anything. But I am going to go with Tanner Jeremy Rahir because you're still an adult, right? You're on your way to being a part of a major league club.
Right, well, he wasn't trying to get a cat down from a tree, so I...
Yeah, he was just throwing rocks at people.
He was trying to... Yes, he was throwing at other people, he thought. But we haven't gotten the whole story. And again, I know that throwing rocks could have a bad outcome, even an accidentally bad one. Now, had I... Not to upset cat owners, had I conked the cat in the head, I wouldn't have felt so bad. I certainly felt bad when it hit my wife in the head.
First, you just make sure it's okay.
Honestly, God.
And then you start laughing.
Hellboy, let me tell you. To hear that sound, and it was a hollow. I mean, not that my wife said it's hollow, but it was that sound that, you know, just the right between the eyes it hit her. I felt terrible. To this day, I feel terrible. And I'll never forget when the look, when my son and I looked at each other and exchanged that look, so we both know this was not good. This was not a good. I blame him for handing me a big rock. Should have given me a pebble. That little son of a gun, it's all his fault.
You didn't think of doing an eye for an eye thing?
She might have. I offered to let her take a shot at it, but I think she wanted to go to the doctor and see if she needed stitches. So there's hardly a mark now. You wouldn't even know looking at it. I mean, it's not like it's a third eye in the middle of her head. This big old knot or hole, it's nothing like that at all. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth. We'll talk to her about, we're trying to guess what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. We'll ask her what's going to happen and find out a little bit more about your twins, your Wild. See if they're going to win the Stanley Cup, what she thinks. Maybe she could bring somebody. She brought in Lombardi. He's been making some pretty good predictions. Maybe there's somebody from hockey she can bring in to help us out. We'll be right back with Ruth.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.